There are no two girls alike, and you well know that. And your problem is an individual problem, and your wife or your fiancé are individuals. Their interests are different, and you know whether they are with you or not. And by that I mean 100%. If they share your vision, and if they share your heart. And I do believe that a warning would be not to be overly enthusiastic upon arriving home. I was with a couple on the last journey that we were privileged to make from the Glen, and that very thing happened. She was really up in the air. And what's it all about? You see, you have been here and you have the feel somewhat of the thing that you have been faced with. That is, you've been in the discussion groups, you have the scripture to back what has been said. You have other fellows' viewpoint or other girls. You have perhaps spent some time in the Word, and your convictions perhaps are clear, and maybe they aren't clear as yet. And so you'll go back and you burst in the house, and you perhaps will just sit Catherine down and tell all about it. And this is the way, and we're going to do it this way, and from now on. And by the way, that happened, and Leroy knows the couple that I speak of. From last year's conference, pastor's conference, he went home and did the identical thing, and for some 2 weeks, she was really confused. She had no idea what he was talking about in the first place, and she's a wonderful, wonderful girl. And so I think that in my own case, I've asked the Lord to really give me an open heart and an open mind, and to be enthusiastic whether I want to be or not, you know? Really. I want to be, don't get me wrong, but some things I don't understand, but I've learned the hard way. You know, yes, but, you know, that old negative approach. And I do believe that you men have a responsibility to keep your wives informed of your heart interest in your ministry, and it's our responsibility to keep up with you. And I want to be interested in what Dawson is interested in. I want to understand what he understands. I want to be a part of him, in other words. I am to be his helpmeet. And I hardly see how I can be a helpmate to Doss if I don't know what he's talking about or what he stands for, what he believes, what he's doing. In other words, I want to get on the bandwagon with Doss and stay on there. And I don't want to be falling off often or at all. And so I would suggest that you men go home and win your way, as it were, by just carefully presenting what's on your heart, and be wise in your presentation to your wife. And there's a right and a wrong way. And I would suggest you just carefully sit down and prayerfully present anything that's on your heart to her, that new things you've learned, or in a new way that your vision has been enlarged, or perhaps things that the Lord has spoken to you, and you would certainly want to be one in it with her. And I've been in that boat a score of times in our married life, because I travel very little with Dawes, and so I'm on the receiving end, as it were, and sharing in his ministry and sharing in his vision, apart from being there. And I think that the main thing for you to be careful of is the clarity in which you present it to her. And you can kill her interest by a negative approach. You can also put doubts and question marks by yes, but. This is the way they do it. This is the way I see it. And then later on, the Lord perhaps speaks to your heart and you change your ideas, and then you expect her to change overnight. And then there's confusion and your hearts are not one. And I just believe that I just would ask the Holy Spirit to just really guide me as I go back. I can appreciate the fact that some of you will burst into your church and kill what's on your heart the first 2 weeks you're there. A pastor called us just the other day, and in a sense that's happened in his church. And he got some of his men, got them interested. I was in his church the first of the year, and received somewhat of a cold reception. I would say very cold, if I was going to be honest with you. And it's simply because of his over enthusiasm on the thing that he was sold on. And his wife, for 1 year, has had a terrific battle. Because at the same time she heard these things, she had she watched a couple over here that have been hurt because, well, they were hurt. And not for any reason, but just wanting to believe something that wasn't true. And so they've lived out. I was in their home, by the way, went to visit them and to see if I could help solve the situation. But planting seed of discord, this couple has been in this church. And so here this dear pastor is, so solid, a wonderful man of God, has a wonderful life. She has been won, by the way. And it's taken patience, love, forbearing, insight, foresight, everything else, saturated with much, much love and understanding. And she's finally been won. And I believe that he had gone in softly and carefully and let her see rather than hear so much, and not pushing her, which he tried to do. She just had to take this, and she just had to get it, and you have to see it. Well, it's wonderful. And then he's used our girls as illustrations, some of our girls who've been in the work for many years, and rightfully so, they were used, but wrongfully as far as she was concerned, because her heart was not open. And so, gentlemen, be very careful as you go home to win your wife's confidence in this new venture that you have just taken, or in any way that God has spoken to your own heart, and ask God to make you one from the very first hour that you are home. And there's weak gals operate peculiarly, as some men say, and we work in various ways to get our own way, and we like to think that we're leading our men, you know, by some little mannerism of ours, or and we can turn on and turn off the charm, and that those are the things that I have asked the Lord to clear up in my own life, and I'm a colossal example of everything that's wrong, and I've tried it, gentlemen, I really have, and apart from a heart that's right before the Lord, there's no hope for our home situation as men and women of God. And as partners together in the greatest business under God's blue heaven. And so, just go in softly and prayerfully, and God will do the rest, I'm sure. Last year, I wasn't privileged to be here. My heart was here
almost every hour. And I appreciatively long that God would permit me this privilege this year. And because I needed it. And I needed what each one of you have and have. And this afternoon, I would like for us to consider our lives as an open book. We often hear that statement that our lives are an open book or should be an open book. And usually, a book has leaves and very often a cover. And most always, a title. And so the title on our book this afternoon will be The Holy Life, or A Holy Life. And the author, the Holy Spirit. Now, I believe that the leaves in our book will vary. But whether your or the leaves of your life will be many or few, it seems that on each page there's one word that must prevail and be outstanding, and that everything else on that page must be wrapped up in. Oh, it's to no avail. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 13. And that word is love. And Henry Drummond, in his little booklet on the greatest thing in life, says that we must practice love just as a musician practices to be a better or a good musician, a violinist. What makes him a good violinist? It's practice. What makes you a good woman? What makes you given to hospitality? Or a lover, if you please. That's just what the Bible says, a lover of hospitality. And I found that in the 24 years that I was privileged to be in the in God's life, that, well, I have much to learn. And my book is unsightly, the leaves in my book. And many of them very dark, and the picture is very dark. Why? Because of me. And it took many years for me to even get in a position where I believed that God could speak to me on being just given to hospitality, not a lover of hospitality, but given to hospitality. And I can recall as though it were just this week when Dawson said, when in those years he called me Buddy, and if he ever said Lila, I knew he meant it. So he said, Lila, when you get the children to bed, and we have three, I'd like to see you for a while. Well, for a while, it was all evening. And he confronted me with this. It seems to me, Lila, that in one fell swoop, you can let a man know whether you're glad to see him or not just by your facial expression. And then my response, and this is an ugly page in my book, and my response was a negative response, knowing all the time that Doc was right, but being unwilling to just fess up, just confess the thing and say, you're right, Doc, you're right. Which leads me to say this, that I believe that you and I oftentimes are guilty of very carelessly pattering our life after godly men and women, rather than pattering it after the one who never, ever changes. And I believe for my own life, and maybe it's true in yours, that one of the reasons that oftentimes there is leanness in our lives is because our trust is in impossible things rather than the God of the impossible. And it makes a big difference. And so, the preface in this book perhaps would be on divine housekeeping. And remember that the author of this book is the Holy Spirit. And it's the holy life that we're viewing. and that we're very vitally interested in. And divine housekeeping is the very heart of a life, or should be. I'm not speaking of the house that we keep clean. I'm speaking of the body, you, me. Every phase of my life and your life must be in perfect order. In Colossians 2:7, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Listen, girls, you and I have a tremendous responsibility before God because you and I have been taught in the book. And in these last days, I've been living in Daniel. And I've been in three Bibles, all of them belonging to Dawson. And all three different. And many days ago, I asked God to meet a particular need in my life. And I believe that He's starting to do that. But He's always ready, and He's always willing, and He's always right there, because He never changes. And I believe that circumstances alter and change our lives. And Lita made a statement today, and of all else that she said, this is a nugget to me. Circumstances are ordained. And then I say, Lila, are they? Ordained of who and by whom? And this book that we are living, the author, not the co-author, but the author is the Holy Spirit. And it seems to me that many times on the Holy Life that we could put our name as the author. Or phases of our lives, very often. Because we take this life back. And we run it to please ourselves. We lose our temper. We oftentimes lose our temper without saying a word. We do it in a look. We do it with an expression, with the way we turn our body. Or when we shut our door, you know how we can do, you know. And to me, it's a form of temper very often. And yet that page must be saturated with love today. That page that in just a very few hours will be turned over. Time that can never be recalled. Maybe actions today that you and I will have to live many, many weeks to regain what we lost. And Daniel 1:8 says that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile God. And girls, that means by purposing before God, it might mean our appetite. It might mean our money. It might mean love of clothes. It might mean a car. It might mean that trip. It might mean your own way. For under purposing in our heart, and it means our will. I jotted down something that I'd like to share with you. Thank you very much. The enjoyment of our salvation, I believe, is dependent upon our walk with God. In other words, our communion with God. 1 John 1:7. And then our His Word. This is the enjoyment of our salvation. Our feeding, our food. And then I think one of the other things, another thing I mean that makes a difference on in our enjoyment of our salvation has much to do with our will. For I believe that our will must be completely dedicated. And we cannot do it when we accept Christ as our personal Savior and leave it there. Nor can we do it at the beginning of a day off times and leave it right there. It must be done many times a day for many of us. For our wills play tricks on us. And then I think another enjoyment is our work. And our work is rather involved because he has a plan for each of us, and usually it's different. And then I believe the fruit of the enjoyment of our salvation is being with him forever. And girls, you're on your way. We're on our way. The forever has already started. And I would like to ask this, and maybe a chapter could be headed. Are you enjoying your salvation to the full? Mm-hmm. Am I? Nathaniel purpose in his heart. And then I believe that you and I must, in purposing in our heart, is to be careful of the fear of women, or a woman, or a girl. And I believe Proverbs 29:25 would be real good right here. And I'm not taking time to read these verses because I think they are rather familiar to you, but I'd like you to jot them down so that you can speak of these things be so. Now, I think that our appetite can be a snare. I really do. And I think that 2 Timothy 2:26 would be a good verse on facing the evil one in these snares that he does put in our way. And remember that Daniel's prayer life was very strong. In Daniel 10:12, Daniel prayed 3 weeks. It says 20 and 1 day straight, without ceasing, in earnest, in believing that God would deliver him. And then in 6:10, where you're reminded that he prayed 3 times a day, but the secret to me is that he prayed. And this answer, today when requests were given, and I was privileged to be here this morning to hear Abby's remarks on prayer, and as Dee Moen brought up that they used the Navigator's address booklet as one of their means for praying, I began later to search my heart to really see if I was faithfully praying for each of our gang around the world. And I searched my heart to see if I had a form of praying, or if it was just talk. And I believe that we can get in a rut of, well, I'll pray about it, or I have prayed about it. Well, did you and have you? On the same sheet that must be a belief in your book that must be saturated with love, also must be saturated with faithfulness. And then with abundance of obedience. And remember that Daniel was thankful. He had prayed and God had answered, and then he was careful to give God the praise and the glory and the honor. And one thing I was going to share with you today, and I don't have time for it. It's the whole book of Daniel. This is the portion that God has really hit me with, and I really believe that God has hit me with it. And it's Daniel 9, 3 through 20. And we read a great deal about how Daniel humbled himself before God, and this portion of the ninth chapter, starting with the third verse through the 20th verse, has to do with Daniel's confession, his supplication, his prayer before God. And he tells just God how awful he is. And it seems to me that the whole of his trouble was unbelief in this portion. And that's what I've been confronted with. We can believe something, or we can believe a thing, but do you girls really believe every word? Or do you just believe what you know? And how little is that? Every chapter is divinely inspired. And every chapter was written for us and to us. And on Thursday night, before most of you arrived, Bob confronted us with Philippians 3:10, that I may know him and the fellowship of his suffering. Why? That I may be made conformed unto heaven. And he pointed out that the outstanding word in the whole book of Philippians is J-O-Y. And that the third chapter is Paul's testimony. And I would just like to challenge you to just line your life up along with Philippians 3 sometimes. But not hurriedly. Also, we're reminded that Daniel was very courageous. In 6:14, Daniel didn't flinch, not once. He said nothing, and he stood alone. And I have 7 things on a personal prayer sheet that I pray daily for my life. And that's one of them. That if I must stand alone, God help me to stand, come hell or high water. But stand. But you know, we fall apart very quickly, and it's interesting to me to see individuals as they go through something hard, or just maybe a disappointment, because that's hard. And you can always tell. You know, and as you view a life, and I've often wondered, as you view my life, if you really think, well, look a while, you know, God died. He did die. Or shoulders are still, the spirit's down, and she lost the joy, and she looks drab. And just in case some of you haven't heard me say this, I'd like to insert this. And this is one thing I want for my life. And that's enthusiasm. And the Greek definition is God in you. The Greek word for enthusiasm is God inspired, God in you. And I'd like to just share Matthew 16 with each of you. And when the depressions come, and the heartache, the disappointment, change of plan, when God says no, when he takes from you, and he will, Matthew 16, the 3 words that I took for last year, and then asked God to renew them again for my own life, is, have ye forgotten? So read Matthew 16 and keep in mind those three words. Even the disciples in the boat were bickering because they forgot their lunch, you know. And Jesus was resting and he kept listening and hearing this, and then he just reminds, oh, have you forgotten about the five loaves and the 5,000? Or have you forgotten about the four loaves and the 4,000? And when things go tough with us, well, we forget. And that's the time to take inventory. And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would be courageous. And to me, there are very few girls that are courageous. We're courageous when things go easy and when things sometimes go our own way. Or when we have a little bank balance. Or new clothes and our morale has been lifted, and now I'm off lifting your morale. My goodness. But let's be courageous when we have nothing. Or that we think we have nothing. And then he was faithful. And I'm reminded of what Hudson Taylor said, and I quote, "All of God's grace have been weak men who did great exploits for God." And remember that the people found no fault or no error in Daniel, because Daniel purposed in his heart, and Daniel prayed three times a day, and everything was against him. Everything. Everything. They watched him like a hawk, and even throwing him in the lion's den didn't stop Daniel. And some of you perhaps feel that you've been in the lion's den, or maybe you're there now. How are you standing? And then I wonder if the print on your page is dull. Or is it just so tiny that it can't be read? Is it readable? Is it bold type? Would my life be challenged by reading the pages in your book? Would I be challenged to give up everything and follow your Christ, your God, because of this book you're writing? Would I? Would you, by reading mine? And then of Daniel, God said, "O man, great will you are." And in God's hall of fame, and I refer to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the 33rd verse, even the one couldn't stop Daniel. Why? Because God stopped the mouths of the lion. Why? Because Daniel believed the God, the miracle-working God. And today in our class, we were in a discussion group, reminded of divine discipline, not self-discipline. And there is a difference, isn't there? Do we exhort every effort to prevail in prayer to the end that Satan might find real, genuine opposition? Do you? Do you prevail in prayer to that extent? Or are we just saying words? We have an audience with a King of Kings and Lord of Lords just by saying, Father, or my Father, or our Father. And, you know, he can do anything. And Dan, your road isn't easy. It isn't going to be easy. Your lot is not going to be easy. It isn't. There's going to be disappointment, Dan. It's going to be long hours. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be going without. There's going to be deprivation. There's going to be thin times and lean times and hard times. And Dan, you, you're leaving the shores of the USA and you may never see your parents again. They may never see you. It's part of the cost. Of purposing in your heart that you will not defile God. And you know, the last little while I've been thinking of, you know, our suffering on this side is nothing. It's just absolutely nothing. I don't think that any of us could think of anything too hard to suffer for him. At least in our heart of hearts, that's what we have said or are saying. But the acid test comes when it comes. And I was thrilled with you when we heard Nancy's testimony this morning. Do you know, girls, you faced the possibility of losing a limb. Have you ever faced that? And Nancy, I don't know where you are, but you know you still could lose a limb. And that's a small thing besides the suffering, isn't it? Isaiah 60, 1 through 5, is a prayer of my heart. The prayer of my heart is that the Lord will fulfill this as a forerunner in my life. And that's what I'm going to close with, and that's Isaiah 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. This is one thing that I pray for each of you. And I don't know, maybe you're already praying this for your life. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee, thy son shall come from far, and thy daughter shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And for a good many years, and I can say years, that was what Dawson coveted and had me enter in with him. And he coveted before God. And I'm just crazy about the word obedience. I really am. It's hard on us, I know. But I'm very grateful as I look back that in obedience, I went along with Dawson. I really didn't know what it meant. But I'm beginning to see what Isaiah 60, 1 through 5 really means. And the tremendous part that it can play in our life as you are willing to just let go and let God.
Yeah.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon for these words that have come through your servant. For these things that have come from a life that has experienced many things, many hard things. So we thank you truly that we can see in the life the evidence of the Holy Spirit writing upon the pages of her life. We thank you for sharing the hard things, the difficult things, the trying things, as well as the joys and the blessings and the results and the fruitfulness of this life that has been completely given over to you. And Lord, we thank you that because we see not Lyle, but we see Christ in her, that we can follow after that which you have set before us today. We pray that we might take the things that have been shared, we might meditate upon the passages, the promises, the challenges of your word. And Father, that we might ask you to work in our hearts an acceptance and a willingness and an obedience to your will. And Father, we pray that we might be faithful to rejoice in the things that you bring to pass, and that our trust and our confidence and our faith might be in your complete sovereignty, your complete ability and willingness to be God overall. And so, our Father, we pray that because of this time together around the person of Jesus Christ, our lives might be challenged. And Father, that you might use these challenges, put them into action in our lives, and that as a result of this time spent together, that you will continue to do great and mighty things in our lives. For we pray it for Christ's glory and his name. Amen.